Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Last week we looked at the resurrection and the distinction of the resurrection. And before Jesus died, before he was resurrected, there was 9 accounts in the Bible of resurrection. 9 accounts. And some of them were children. Maybe someday I'll preach on all of those, but not right now. But here's the idea. So there were 9 accounts. But here's what's very, very, very important. All 9 of those resurrections that took place, children and adults that died and were resurrected, they died again. You see that? They died after they were resurrected. But here's what Jesus did. When Jesus died, he stayed alive forever. You see the distinction? So the idea is that's why his followers will live forever. He said, because I live, you shall live forever. See that? And that's important to understand. So, when Jesus, it says he ascended, he descended. In Ephesians 4, it says that when Jesus descended, he also ascended. But when he descended, he went in the grave. He went into Hades, and that was a holding place for the people who died prior to Jesus being resurrected. People will ask me, well, why? What happened to all the people who died before Jesus? Well, I'm getting ready to give you the answer. Jesus went down into Hades where those people were. Who were those people? Abraham? Jeremiah? Isaiah? All those prophets, Daniel, Job, in Hades. Jesus went down and preached to them and took the keys of death away from the devil. The authority, that's what keys represent, the authority. And he's given you and I the keys now. Authority. You see that? Over death. Now catch this. He went down, in Ephesians 4, he descended, he ascended. When he ascended, he gave out gifts. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. So all those great grace gifts were given to bring maturity to God's people. You see this? That's what the word perfect meant to it. Maturity. You hearing this? God wants us to mature in the faith. So now think about this. Abraham is the father of the faith. If faith could have destroyed death, Abraham would have done it. But even his faith couldn't destroy death. See this? If suffering could have destroyed death, Job would have destroyed death because he went through tremendous suffering. I kind of avoid that book sometimes. He went through a tremendous amount of suffering. If he could have destroyed death, he would have done it, but he didn't. If worship could have destroyed death, David would have destroyed death, but he couldn't. Only Jesus. That's what makes Jesus God. Are you listening to me? That's why if we follow in Him, we live forever. You see this? This is important. Today we're going to talk about some things, I think, that are going to be very relevant, and you're going to get something out of this. So we're going to look at we've been talking about deception. Remember, deception means to believe a lie. We don't want to be deceived. We want to know the truth. Jesus said He was the one who claimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." John chapter 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through Me. His truth, I'm the truth. His truth, it calls us to the way, His way. And then when we get that truth, it produces life in us. Those dead areas in our life that aren't producing and aren't congruent with what He created us for, that's what the truth does. It brings life into that area of your life. What do you mean? Where you can't get along with people? You can't have a healthy relationship? You always seem to want to get people told and want to get people back? That's not God's way. He brings that way into your life. Now you can love your wife. Now you can love your husband in a way that you couldn't do on your own. That's redemption. He's redeeming all those areas. That's what revelation means, a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. When you come here, there's going to be a word prophesied over you. It's going to uncover an area of your life that needs attention from God, that needs redemption. And God will show it to you. And if you yield to the Holy Spirit and you hang in there, that area is going to be redeemed. And you're going to begin to experience the life God created you for. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how many times you've been married. When you understand what I'm talking about, God can redeem every area and put it right in the center of His will. Amen. Are you listening to me? And your kids are going to want what you have. And your kids are going to follow what you're following when you understand what we're talking about. Am I making sense? I get a little excited about this. Because, folks, listen. So many people are going through things. And when we don't understand it, that's where the enemy works. He works through our lack of understanding. So, redemption is big. And that's what He's doing. A prophetic, redemptive uncovering. He's calling you with His truth to bring that truth into that area of that life so He can show you the life He's created you for. It's fulfillment. Does it mean my problems are going to go away? No. Maybe you'll have more problems. But you will be enabled and empowered to deal with them with joy and peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. You will be empowered and enabled to overcome whatever it is that used to overcome you. You will overcome it. Amen. By the power of the resurrection. Authority. That's what that word of power is. Authority. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and by no means shall anything hurt you." You see, when you understand what I'm talking about, you're not going to get your feelings hurt. You're not going to get hurt all the time by people. I don't care if you came out of abuse. I don't care if your parents left you on a step and you've never seen them before. If you've never met them, God has a plan and purpose for your life. And when we and you know what? If you don't understand that hurt and that pain and you don't give it to Christ and get His truth in that area, you'll live a life of deception and you'll never become what God put you on earth for. Y'all glad you came to church? I'm trying to help you see this. This is what is going on. And when we understand this, it's so important to get what we're talking about. And I'm going to help you with this because you're going to get something out of this. It's going to help you. And if you're really here after what God has, you see, he's building his church, remember? The church is a greenhouse for us to grow and flourish and prosper in a world that's going the opposite direction, that's against what you stand for. It's totally against it. Are you really? That's what the church is about. You get connected in the church. It's algorithms. It's, you hear that word a lot, algorithm, system. There's a system in the church, the kingdom of God. And you can pivot. Oh boy, there's a word you hear once in a while. Well, I pivoted. Okay. You can pivot from the way you used to be. Sorry, did I spit on you? She wiped her face. Maybe I spit on her. I'm not going to spit on you. I'm going to try not to. I'll back off. But you can pivot and go God's way. Amen. And get life into that area of your life. All right. So now let's go to the foundational scripture. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for everyone here today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, right now we ask that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. Help us to receive your truth today and help us to distinguish the truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So now look, whoever resists authority, the word resist, remember, it means to frustrate. So here's the idea. We need to embrace authority. People don't even like that word authority. You're going to tell me? No. When somebody's over you, there's a reason for it. You need to embrace that. And whatever they, if they ask you to do something, you do it. And you do it willingly. And you do it with joy. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Colossians 3:21. Here's the idea. If they're not asking you to lie and they're not asking you to hurt people, and they're just asking you to do a job in a position, do it. And it protects you. Authority protects you. When you have authority, you have authority. It protects you. And that's what we need. We need God's authority over our lives. Because look, the devil had the authority of death over us, over all of us, until we called on Jesus and got the life. That authority was taken from him. Now it's given to him, and now he's given it to us. Authority over death. Though death means separation. It doesn't mean lay down and not breathing. It means separation. You're separated from the areas of the life that God created you for. Now I can connect with those areas. If I listen to Jesus, I can connect with those areas and live the life God created me for. Are you catching this? Am I making sense? Because God has a plan and purpose for every one of us. Everybody on the planet. God has a plan and a purpose and an assignment. And an assignment. Now look. Go with me quickly to Luke 22. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And we're going to look at this. So, before, you know, you've heard me teach on this. Before you were born, God had a plan and purpose for your life. Remember, we're all born in sin because of Adam. By one man's disobedience, many became sinners. That's Adam. But by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. That's Jesus. He destroyed sin. Adam brought sin in because of his disobedience. So now, we all are born in sin. But when we're born again, we're in a position to live the life God created us for. Now think about this. In 2 Timothy, he talks about this. You don't need to put this up, but keep this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says this. Paul was talking to his understudy. That would be Timothy. And Timothy was a preacher, and things were going on in the church that Timothy was struggling as being a pastor, but Paul was helping him out. And Paul was acknowledging it to him and encouraging him about what is going on in the church. And he says this. He says, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ or the testimony of Jesus Christ, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul called himself a prisoner. He was a prisoner to Christ. You see that? He said, or of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel. According to the power of God, the authority of God. You see, wherever the gospel is really going out, there's going to be some things happening in your life. And it's not going to feel good sometimes. But when you're in, you're in. And you will overcome if you stay in the faith. Now look, he says, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed to us by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Immortality and life. The word immortality means endless life. Only Jesus had that a power. And that's why we want to be under his authority. And when you're under your boss's authority, you're under his authority. See, we have to understand that because he established all authority. And when we understand that, it brings it in our life. Now, think about this. He abolished death. Separation. All that doesn't have to be separated anymore. You can listen to Jesus. His truth calls you to his way. Gets you to the life, the Zoe life, the life God created you for. And that's what we're all looking for. A lot of us don't even know what we're looking for, but that's what we're looking for. Now think about this. Go with me to Luke 22. Now let's look at this. And the Lord said, now let me give you a little backdrop in this, what's going on here. The disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to take over this ministry when Jesus dies and goes to heaven? So they're who's going to be the greatest? There's a pride issue. You see that? Who's going to be the greatest? So they're talking about it. And then Jesus says to Simon. Simon was the one that he changed his name in Matthew 16. He changed his name to Peter. He said, Simon, you are Peter. Peter means rock. He said, and flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but God has revealed this to you. He says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What you just showed me, what you shared. Simon, the word Simon, means like a reed blowing in the wind. Jesus is calling Simon, calling Peter, not by the name he changed it to, but by Simon. He's bringing that back up because he knew. Peter had some things to learn yet and grow in. Because right after this, he denied Jesus three times Jesus told him right after this, if you read that chapter, you're going to deny me three times when the rooster crows. And he did. Now look. So he says, Simon, you're still blowing in the wind. You know, you're still, every wind of doctrine, you're still blowing in the wind. I want you to be Peter, who I called you to. Now look. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Satan has asked for you. This is Jesus talking. The name Satan means accuser. And in Revelations 12, 10, 9, 10, 11, around in there, it talks about the accuser of the brethren who accuses the brethren day and night, continuously, day and night. So he says, Satan, listen, Satan has asked for you. He's asked for you. And this word you in the Greek means you all. So that includes all of us. That includes all of us. You all. Judy, you know about you all. Now, Judy will say yuns sometimes. Yuns. Donita one time said to her, what's yuns mean? Donita has a degree from UD in communication. Her words, she has it down on her words. That's one of the things that attracted me. I'm a word nerd, so I like clean, clear words. You know what I mean? So, but now she can communicate. Now listen, think about this. Oh, yeah, so can Judy. I'm getting myself in trouble, aren't I? But yuns is what, you know, that means you all. So Satan could have said he desires yuns. Steve says it too. I always get on him about that. Wait a minute now. All these people don't know what yuns means. But I know him well enough. He's all right. You need to quit. All right, now watch. Satan has asked for you all. You. That means you. That means me. See, I had to get you going because this is serious stuff today. And watch. Has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. You see, he wants to sift you as wheat. Sifting was a process at harvest. Sifting was a refining process that they would sift the wheat because the chaff and the tares would bond themselves and connect themselves to the wheat. And the wheat was the fruit. So it's really to identify the real and authentic. That's what the sifting process is for, to identify the real and the authentic, to separate it, you see, from death to life. Listen, because fruit is producing life. Are you listening to me? So that's what that process is. So this is what's going on. We're being sifted. And he's getting rid of the stuff that's attached itself to us. That's not life. That's not fruit. Now listen. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now give me this next one. But I, this is Jesus talking, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Jesus is praying for your and my faith that it never fails. You see that? That your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. All the enemy has, all Satan has, is coming at us to see if we're authentic and we're real. Everything he has. And if you're flimsy and just blowing in the wind, that's what you'll get. you won't get what's eternal and what God has for you. Now listen. The enemy has marked you, and when you are moving into your purpose, everything he has is going to come against you. We've had people who don't come back to church, haven't come back to church yet, because of this corona. We've had people walk away from the faith. That should be the last thing you do in a time like this. We need to stay in the faith, that your faith does not fail. The enemy will do everything he can to get you to quit and to get you away from your purpose and the plan that God had for you before you showed up on the planet. He wants to sift you like wheat. And remember, sifting separates the tares, the chaff, from the wheat. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'm going to show you a little bit at how Satan works. And believe me, I'm not here to give him any credit. But you and I need to understand how that works. The only place you can find out how the devil works is in the Bible. You can read books, but you can only place you can really understand how he operates is from the Bible. And he operates through deception. He can't take you out, but he'll cause you to be so deceived, you'll take yourself out. He'll cause you to be something you were never meant to be. Because you got hurt early in life. Again, I'm telling you, the pain that you've been through has a purpose. Everything you've been through, God wants to glorify it so you can help other people. Oh, I'm telling you, you're going to get something out of this. Now get this. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, think about this. Paul was teaching in Corinthians, teaching the church. There was all kinds of stuff going on in the church. Remember, I talked about it last week. There's people misusing their spiritual gifts. Now look, so he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Advantage of us. Now watch this. This word advantage is the Greek word P-L-E-O-N-E-K-T-E-O. P-L-E-O-N-E-K-T-E-O. It's a Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. But now think about this. Think about this. This word is the Greek word for advantage. Listen to what it means. Listen to what it means. It means to outwit, to trick, to take advantage of someone.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.